Good morning. It's the fifth time I'm starting this fucking podcast. Jesus. Just did a whole rambling podcast and then almost done. And I'm like, I don't like that. Deleted it. What's the matter with me? Good morning. No rules now. I just need to just get it out there. Put something. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast. A little baby podcast on the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Go there, see this, or hear this, hear all of them. Hope everyone's doing well. It's a beautiful day. I don't got a lot going on today. So I thought I am going to read some. Okay, let's go. Let's do this, folks. All right. I'm going to read the Daily Reflections this morning and see maybe, because I'm really struggling to talk about something. Everything's pretty damn good today. My kids are good. Let me go through the list. My kids, my wife, my life, they're all good. Worked yesterday. I needed that. Needed a good day's work. I hadn't worked. What was yesterday? Was Tuesday. So I hadn't worked Saturday, Sunday. I did work. I don't think I even worked last Saturday. I don't think I worked Saturday or Sunday or Monday. So I worked yesterday. That felt good. I think I was a little in a funk. Nothing to, you know, report about. It just, you know. I saw this interview. I don't know really what it was. It was a guy talking to Jerry Seinfeld on the street. And the guy's like, why are you riding your bike, Jerry? And Jerry's like, you know, why with the dumb questions, you know? And he goes, you don't need to work. You don't need the money. Referring to, you know, how much money Jerry Seinfeld clearly made off of Seinfeld. And Jerry goes, I need to work. I absolutely need to work. And you would think, oh, with all the money, you can probably just chill. But the reality is I think humans, I know for me, I can only speak for myself and I can speak for Jerry Seinfeld because he said it. I know for me, I have to work. Same shit, same thing we talked about on a different podcast. I'm not living unless I'm suffering. Living, suffering. White, black. I'm not living unless I'm doing something. It's not on the top of my list of things to do, like work. I have to work. Just, I think we all do. If you don't, I think the devil's got your ear. It's just my thought. All right, here we go. This looks good. All right, here, September 30th. The circle and the triangle. Nice. The circle stands for the whole world of AA. The circle stands for the whole AA. Okay, so we're talking about the circle and the triangle, the AA logo. All right. The circle stands for the whole world of AA, and the triangle stands for the AA's three legacies of recovery. Unity. Oh, wait a minute. Let me read that. The circle stands for the whole world of AA, and the triangle stands for AA's three legacies of recovery, unity, and service. Within our wonderful new world, we have found freedom from our fatal obsession. AA comes of age, page 139. Early in my AA life, I became employed in its services, and I found the explanation of our society's logo to be very appropriate. First, a circle of love and service with a well-balanced triangle inside, the base of which represents our recovery through the 12 steps. Then the other two sides representing unity and service, respectively. The three sides of the triangle are equal. As I grew in AA, I soon identified myself with the symbol. I am the circle, and the sides of the triangle represent three aspects of my personality: physical, emotional, and emotional sanity, and spirituality. the latter forming the symbol's base. Taking together, all three aspects of my personality translate into a sober and happy life. So what is that, two versions? I mean, it says that, and I like that, recovery, unity, and service. Recovery is surrendering to me. Unity is surrendering, and service is surrendering. It's all surrender, right? I mean, you can't, you have to have, I mean, I've talked about this before, but to me, the key is the surrender, giving up, throwing my arms up. I can't do this anymore. I give up. And I think that, you know, that was important for me to learn. Important for me to learn. Important for me to learn.
People you know try to tell you things, bad things that you don't want to hear about. Tell you tomorrow what you did today. Just remember it's a small town. Yes, it's a real small town. Gets tired of all the stupid boys. She can't wait until they're done. She wants a man who can take his time. She wants someone who can make her come. Yeah, can you make me come?
That is inappropriate, sir. What? What is that? Yeah, so anyway, wait a minute. Yeah, I love that. So, you know, I can't, talked about it plenty of times, but to me it's really about surrender. You know, if you can't, what do they say, you can't have one foot in the world of drinking and another foot in the world of sobriety, you have to give up. You have to surrender. And that's when I think you can start getting the triangle. I mean, that's what makes sense. The circle stands for the whole world of AA, and the triangle stands for AA's three legacies of recovery, unity, and service. Recovery, that's surrender. Unity, I mean, a union, right? A group, a gathering, people together. I mean, you got, I remember when I first came into, the first night I came into AA, I didn't walk the room shaking hands. I walked in, grabbed a seat, and that's when the unity of that triangle started coming my way. People started coming over. I remember being upstairs at that, somebody needs to cancel a haircut. These guys from the program came up to the hospital room where I was staying because that's where I checked in. They asked me if I wanted to go to a meeting. Unity. Well, that actually more falls under service, I think. You know, I mean, you've got to make the choice. I'd already made the choice to try to get sober. I don't know what it was, what I was, my plan. I don't know what the outcome I was looking for. You know, I tend to dumb things down for myself, you know, so the reality to me was I was just avoiding going to work and explaining why I had stitches. This seemed like a great opportunity. I was an opportunist back then. I would take advantage of any opportunity I could to worm my way out of either focusing or dealing or handling some situation that I'd gotten into. You know, scapegoat. And I don't know if scapegoat's the right word. Escaping from the situation. That's what I did when I went to the hospital. But I gave up a little bit. I surrendered a small bit that got me there. You know, these people that came up there, they had surrendered at one point. They had gotten into recovery. The same thing probably had happened to them. Somebody came up and introduced themselves and shook hands. The unity. And then what's the spirituality? Is that what's left? Spirituality. Oh, no, service. But that's it. It's all spirituality. You know, you make the choice, you get into recovery, and then you reach out or someone reaches out to you, that builds the unity, and then you get some time, and then that group starts doing the service. And that's how it worked for me when I got sober. I went to the hospital, I've got a temporary sponsor. Next thing you know, we're going to meetings. I'll never forget we met at a place, I think, at a gas station. I got into Ron M's car. We drove to Dover and went to some meeting, but we had a meeting in the car. We got there. We had a meeting. I remember I still had stitches. I was still fucked up. People are still like cracking comments. Whoa, what happened to you? I hope the other guy looks worse or whatever it was that they had to say, but it was still, you know, it was still new. And I just remember I went from the week previously drinking every day, living in a one bedroom apartment, to now being sober with no friends, mind you. And then to getting, you know, putting down the drink within 2 weeks and having a big group of friends, hitting the road, going to meetings, shaking hands, having coffee, being accountable. I remember I loved it. Loved it. That beginning of building that unity. Sprinkling in some service. You know, it's always recovery. Remember a while back I said, that's it, I'm recovered, I'm done. I'm recovered. Just the fact that I thought that I should say that means that I need more recovery. That's the mind fuck this fucking program sometimes has. It's like, that's it. I've recovered. I'm tired of beating this horse into the ground. I'm recovered. Why do you need to say that? Is that ego? What's that about? What, now you don't need meetings? Are you not humble? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm not recovered. I need more recovery. I don't know. But that unity was something new to me. U-N-I-T-Y.
Another flow. Every time I hear a brother call a girl a bitch or a hoe, trying to make a sister feel low, you know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring rap to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block. I had my cutoff shorts on, right? Cause it was crazy. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. Yeah. I turned around red, somebody was catching the rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me, bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes.
Who you calling a bitch?
U-N-I-T-Y.
I'm not sure that's the same UNITY that A is talking about, but whatever. Sounded good. But it is great, you know, and I love all that stuff. Recovery, unity, service. Definitely new to me. My unity was meeting drug dealers. My recovery was recovering from a bad one, you know, just so that I could get ready for the next one. And the only service I was doing was servicing myself. You know, and doing whatever services that I needed to do to get self taken care of. And it's a fucking toxic, it's a life of self. I cannot, for me, I cannot emphasize that anymore. That really, I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. That's it. That's it. You know, what self wanted, self got. You know, I think, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, the women, the money, all that shit. It's just serving self. And, you know, it just happens that the alcohol and the other things, you know, are the ones that get me all fucked up. But it's all self-service. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I think they should make all drugs and alcohol, all drugs, because alcohol is actually legal. So all drugs, legal. Legalize all drugs, heroin, LSD, you name it, fucking make it legal. I think we should get rid of probation. Get rid of probation. Fuck probation. Why do we? It's a revenue creator. It's why do the, you know, you want to figure out why this country is unhappy? I think that's part of it. Part of it, absolutely. You know, if you want to do a crime, you got to do the time, right? If you get in trouble, fuck yeah, go to jail. Send them to jail, whatever. When you get out of jail, be done with it. Why do they have to have you on probation? It's fucking bullshit in the system. I remember when I was when I lived out in San Diego and we were running the streets, doing speed and you know, there was probably a group of 10, 12 people that I knew, maybe 15 people. You know, they were either selling drugs, doing drugs with me, buying drugs from me, knew somebody that had drugs. You know, it's just this little web of people that kind of come along with that lifestyle. And, you know, during that, my, you know, stint in the kind of lifestyle, people would come in and out of jail. You know, they'd be out, they'd be high, be all fucking whacked out, and then the cops would get them, put them back in jail, then they would come out. Every person that I knew that would come out would be on probation. Fourth waiver, they'd call it. You know, you waive your fourth waiver rights, your fourth amendment rights to privacy. No, not privacy. I guess it's privacy. But what this would say is every time you got in jail and, you know, you'd be like, oh, God, I need to get out of jail or whatever, and they'd sign some agreement, some probation agreement. But every time you went on probation, you would waive your Fourth Amendment rights. Which meant that any time you got pulled over, since you'd waived your Fourth Amendment rights, that they could go ahead and search you, no real reason. Oh, hey, your fourth waiver, hop out, let's take a look and see what you got. And of course, you know, we always had something, right? Back to jail you would go, back into the system, back with the fines. I mean, what the fuck? Drugs shouldn't even be illegal. Let's make sugar illegal. I mean, if we're going to make anything illegal, let's make alcohol illegal. Out of all the shit I've ever done, the one that fucking whooped me the worst was the alcohol. Whooped me the worst. So yeah, let's get rid of probation. Let's fucking take the thumb off all these fucking people. You know, this, whether it's Black Lives Matter or whatever it is. I think, I watch a podcast with a guy who said the problem that we have in this country is that a lot of us are poor. I'm poor. I mean, I work and I make money, but you fucking compare me to 10 people just like me next to me, I'm probably the poorest guy out of them. You know, people are poor. It makes very sad. It makes us not feel like there's a lot of hope in the world. And then put them on probation and fines and you know, even if you, like, want to leave. Let's say you want, I mean, the only reason I survived, because I got the fuck out of California. I mean, I was headed to fucking nowhere land. No, it was not looking good for old Tom. I remember being in jail. I'm like, I am never getting high again. I was going to meetings, getting my chronos. Bullshit. It was all bullshit, Tom. You're fucking such a bullshit artist. I'm never getting high again. My girlfriend picked me up from the jail in San Diego, and we were high that day. High that day. So full of fucking shit, man. my dad said, look, you can either stay here and you're on your own, or you can come back to with us to Delaware. And I go, I better go to Delaware. And it still took me almost a month to get the fuck out of Delaware, to get out of San Diego. I was still, getting high like right away. I remember packing up the house. I got these old, I remember somebody had given me a VHS camera, probably traded it for some dope or some bullshit. And I was tweaking and taking all these videos with it. And I look back and I remember, you know, there was like this 30 days of when I got out of jail, and to the point where we actually pulled out of that parking lot. And I took these videos and we were packing up the house and just getting rid of shit and just high. And that Guns N' Roses playing in the background. And it just was like, you know, I still could not fucking get it together. My dad would call, come on, you're supposed to be leaving. I'm like, I'm trying. We were just tweaking and finally got out of there. And then took 7 days to drive across the United States, tweaking. Got stuck in Tennessee because we ran out of dope. My friend had to FedEx us some. Fucking miserable existence. But if I hadn't gotten out of there, I'd be dead. Or I'd be in prison because I'd have gotten in that system. I was on probation, I guess, I think. I just left. I don't even know. I asked for permission to leave. That was funny. I remember I asked for permission to leave the state of California to come to Delaware. I had a job lined up. I remember that whole thing. You know, my uncle was going to give me a job. He had to put up this whole bullshit line. I got a job. And came here. And the guy, I remember when we were leaving California, the guy's like, you need to check in with a probation officer, or you need to check in with your local police officers or police. I don't know what the fuck it was. When you arrive to the new town and let them know. And I was like, okay. So we get here, and I remember because the town we live in, I went to the little town police office, police station, I guess it is. I'm like, yeah, I'm here. I just want to check in. I'm here. I was in San Diego. I'm just letting you know I'm here. The guy's like, okay. Sounds good, bye. And that was it. I don't know what I was supposed to do. I might have been, what I was supposed to do is go to Georgetown, check in with probation and parole probably, but I never did it. And I think that it just got lost in this because I've been, you know, if I was like wanted or if I had a warrant or something, that would have probably gotten me by now. That was so long ago. But if I hadn't gotten to Delaware, I probably would be, I would definitely be stuck in the system. Just like that 12 to 15 people that surrounded me when I was living there in San Diego, constantly in and out of jail and probation camps, paying fines. It's like free money. It's free money for fucking California. If California didn't have probation and fines, they would probably, they'd be bankrupt. They need to get rid of that shit. Fuck, you want to get high? Go buy the best goddamn heroin you can at the fucking Wawa and get high. Get your high on. If it doesn't work, get sober. If it doesn't work more than once, you're probably going to die. But, you know, at least own that shit. But to fucking make everything illegal? The war, I mean, the amount of people that have died because of marijuana? It's embarrassing. It's a shame. And that was all fucking propaganda created by Hertz and, DuPont. You know, did you know marijuana isn't even the name of, I mean, marijuana is cannabis. It's not marijuana. Marijuana, I was told, meant crazy Mexican on drugs, something like that. It was a lot of propaganda that was created to try to, because John Hearst, I think his name was, for the Hearst Castle, I mean, he owned all the newspapers. He had a big paper industry to supply paper for his newspapers. And hemp was like this super product that was going to make, you know, paper and using trees a thing of the past. And he's like, no, we're not having that. That's my business. So he started creating propaganda to turn marijuana into a a monster, you know, the monster that it is today. And so they came up with like the word marijuana, which meant crazy Mexican on drugs. And then they were saying that these people were high on marijuana. They were raping white women. Ooh. Oh. And that's how that all began. And DuPont was in it too, because DuPont, you know, hemp was going to be a great alternative source for nylon, or to help make nylon. And DuPont was like, no, no, no. So he's behind it too. But it's, I mean, the people being doing prison time for pot? I mean, what the fuck? That's bullshit. But I'm here and I got lucky. I got out. I escaped. But, you know, I think we should get rid of all that shit. You know, people probably need to smoke more pot, lighten the fuck up. I saw they had the presidential debates last night. Wonder how that went. I started to watch it just for 90 seconds, and it was so uncomfortable I changed it. I couldn't handle it. I mean, wow. And my wife and I, we're huge West Wing fans. I love the West Wing. And in the West Wing, they're going through the debates. So to watch this, you know, real life debate was so uncomfortable. I don't know what to make of that whole scene. I don't know. Anyway, listen, my problem right now is I don't have a lot of problems. I don't have anything to air out. My laundry's pretty clean right now, and it's, but I did like that. I did like that reading. I can read it one more time. The circle and the triangle. The circle stands for the whole world of AA, and the triangle stands for AA's three legacies of recovery, unity, and service. Within our wonderful new world, and it is a wonderful new world. And I think that was kind of the point I was also trying to make, is that one week I went from this bottom of the barrel to all of a sudden kind of hanging out with people like with jobs and, you know, careers, and just how that felt. That really felt great when that started. So within our wonderful new world, we have found freedom from our fatal obsession. Early in my AA life, I became employed in its services, and I found the explanation of our society's logo to be very appropriate. First, a circle of love and service with a well-balanced triangle inside, the base of which represents our recovery through the 12 steps. Then the other two sides, representing unity and service, respectively, the three sides of the triangle are equal. As I grew in AA, I soon identified myself with the symbol. I am the circle, and the sides of the triangle represent three aspects of my personality: physical, emotional, sanity, and spirituality, the latter forming the symbol's base. So spirituality must be the base, I guess. Taken together, all three aspects of my personality translate into sober and a happy life. There it is. So you gotta surrender to find recovery, you gotta surrender to create unity, and you gotta surrender to find spirituality. I know for me, spirituality was a byproduct of surrendering. And, you know, I have to remember that. I hope everyone's having a great day. I'll try to find some shit to get into so we can make this podcast a little more interesting. Reach out. I'm sorry about last night on Instagram. Send me a note, a little something. How's it going? I hope everybody is doing well and staying sober, and, hang in there.
I hit the bottom, there ain't nowhere else to go but up. Right. Bad days at work give you an attitude and you were rough. Right. And take it out on me, but that's about enough. You put your hands on me again, I put your ass in handcuffs. I guess I fell so deep in love, I grew dependency. I was too blind to see just how it was affecting me. All that I knew is you was all the man I had. And I was scared to let you go, even though you treated me bad. But I don't wanna see my kids see me getting beat down by daddy smacking mommy all around. You say I'm nothing without you, but I'm nothing with you. A man don't really love you if he hits you. Yeah. This is my notice to the tool. I'm not taking it no more. I'm not your personal whore. That's not what I'm here for. Ain't nothing
have a great
but
day.
Don't come to your niggas, you right by me. Brother, you ain't sick.
Who you calling a bitch?